been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
K-Row. Come in there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
This is Rachel Herndon-Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times, here with Ben Peters, also of the Missouri Times, Becky Lohman of Catalyst Group, and we have two special guests. We've got Ryan Clearwater, who's the assistant to Representatives Paul Kirkman and Jay Barnes, and we also have Hannah Beers, communications director, Jacinda Ryan-Silvey. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to be here.
First time on the podcast, right?
Very excited.
Oh, yeah.
First time we've had staffers.
Yes.
So we are
the inaugural staffer podcast.
Wow. We're very honored.
Well, hopefully we set the bar really, really low so other people can
decide if we want to do this again.
Right.
We never have any other staffers on. You guys know you tanked.
Right.
But this did not go well.
Right. Don't you want to set the bar high so people are, like, impressed?
And
that's fair.
Because we have great sponsors, including the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce and Republic Services.
Your segue has always impressed me.
Making this possible. Anyway, so first things first. Governor Eric Greitens called a special session yesterday announcing to the media and social media shortly before 2 p.m. that we're going to be having a abortion sanctuary city health.
Women's health special session.
Yeah, it's a three-page call to session.
Which it actually is an extraordinary session, I've learned. That if the governor calls it, it's extraordinary. If the legislature, it's special. But
so
again, special session, way more fun to say.
Yeah.
So I will be...
Yeah.
That makes me think of the stickers you get on, like, spelling test in, like, second grade.
Extraordinary.
A plus.
A plus, yeah.
Super duper.
So this is an A plus session.
A-plus.
Super duper session.
So I'm very curious of y'all's perspective. Have you heard any feedback from constituents?
Oh, with regards to this specific
extraordinary
session?
Like, is this something the constituents in, my district... because Jay Barnes is my rep, or in Paul Kirkman's district, are they calling for this?
Generally speaking, from what I've seen, especially from Representative Barnes' district, is people will call. They'll start to call once it starts to hit the media more, and then once the session actually begins. Right now, I'd say it's still a little too early.
Are you telling me the media has influence and should be spoken to?
I would say that they really should, yeah. I think it's the responsibility of the legislature to communicate to media sources and to their constituents in order to make sure that their points of view are heard, and also what their government's doing.
So I have a quick question. Do you find that Jay Barnes' constituents, maybe because they're close to the Capitol, are at a higher engagement level than perhaps others?
Do you think that matters?
Just because you live in Jeff City and you...
You only
definitely.
Have three of his constituents sitting here right now.
Right.
No pressure.
No. I think that they are actually a more engaged constituent base, but solely just because of proximity.
Absolutely.
I think everybody has their issues that they care about. What's kind of unique about his office in particular is we get more drop-ins, I think, than anybody else in the state.
Fun times.
Which is a fun thing to handle as the person that does constituent services.
Right, something the he takes a vote they don't like at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
They're in the office
by
2 p.m.
Yeah, right.
Talking to you.
They're camped out getting their coffee and water and waiting on the representative. Yeah,
right. Right. So yeah, what are you hearing in Senator Silvey's office? How does Senator Silvey's constituents feel about this?
It's not a big talking point at the moment, I don't think it's been super well broadcast, but I can say, you know, the legislature wasn't even aware. It came out on social media beforehand, so I think it was you, Rachel, who tweeted,
yeah,
like, you had to call some elected members, and they found out from you and not
absolutely
from the governor's office.
And it happened last time we had a special session too.
Yeah.
And it's been like a 2 to 3 hour gap before legislators are getting their calls to special.
Do you think do you think there's a strategy behind that? And if so, what do you think that is? Or do you think it's just that's kind of how the office rolls and they just make a determination and move forward and they don't really wait for anybody to slow them down, so to speak? What do you think what is the thinking there?
I mean, I think the governor's office is calculated in the fact that they know exactly what it is that they want to do. But I do think that a little more communication with some of their elected officials would benefit the process immensely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think they're making the process harder for themselves rather than easier. You know, they have a legislative team. Communicate with the legislature. It's not that hard. Just let them know what's going on, and everything would go much more smoothly.
And I think, you know, whenever things like that, whenever we have an extraordinary session, especially when it deals with human lives, as this particular abortion sanctuary city bill does, I think it would be good to have that call together before you actually start to address the fact that you're going to have it. I think it would just streamline the process that much more and make it that much more clear
get
to Missouri's constituents
page.
Of
yeah.
what's happening.
And I've heard a lot this sure. week of various legislators just being on conference calls constantly with gubernatorial staff. And I think maybe that's why this call is 3 pages long. There's a lot of ground to cover. And I know there's a lot of people's, probably more people's eyes are on this than were on the first special session.
You know, and I think it's a unique situation for the governor and for his staff to frame the call and the scope of the call. I know that I had heard from individuals during our previous special session with regards to Roan's utility bill. Some people had wanted it to be a little more broad so we could discuss some other issues. Potentially, you know, in one case I'd heard some additional ethics stuff that could have been thrown on there, which I think we can all agree is a good thing whenever you can limit the amount of bureaucracy that Missouri has. So with that being said, I really do think that if they had taken the time, if they could take the time to discuss with people what other options might actually be available to either broaden or restrict their call, I think that would be a good thing. But like I said, I don't pretend that I know everything that they have researched.
No, that's what we do on the podcast. We pretend we know everything. We speak in absolutes. We are right.
And you know what? No one's really called me out on it yet.
No, I think they just stopped listening, probably. Is what I would imagine.
You know, on the note of, you know, the governor has not held elective office before. There's a lot of staff members in and out of the Capitol who have not worked in Missouri or not worked in the legislature or the Capitol before in any way, shape, or form. And they're trying some things out, for sure. And something I'm kind of curious about. Hannah, it's your first session in the Capitol. You're on the Senate side. Ryan, it's your 6th year in the House. You've got a new governor. I'm used to Governor Nixon as a reporter. And like whenever I started reporting, he was Attorney General. Like I understood Nixon. And it's definitely a change of pace on the media side. What have your impressions been working with an outsider?
You know, I actually appreciate that value that the governor brings in. You know, one of the things when we had this landslide of Republicans going from a majority of 110 to 117, which I think the last time that happened was in like 1981, and it was the Democrats.
Was anyone born in 1981 in the
No, Brian Grace was, I think.
Brian Grace
but,
was. He's
you know,
very
like,
old.
Yeah, last week. But,
it's those goos and gels.
Yeah, right. And the bicycling. I think that, you know, one of the things that Republicans rose to the occasion on was once you gain that supermajority and then you have Republicans throughout the state houses, minus one, of course, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. Where you have to, while you have every opportunity to pass, I mean, you know, realistically, all sorts of legislation without a Democratic governor to veto those, Republicans were rose to the occasion. They were strict when it came to the legislation that they heard. They were still incredibly responsible with their research and with their communication with each other on any issues that they saw that might come up from legislation. And then with regards to Governor Greitens, of course, I mean, we've gotten some great legislation passed this year thanks to his leadership and then also the House and Senate leadership as well. So
there's been a record,
it's refreshing,
record low.
Yeah.
Amount of legislation passed.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is not just indicative of how stringent our legislative process should be and how difficult it should be to pass legislation, but also to the extent of the representatives, I guess, I don't really know how you could say it, the representatives' ability to, and the senators' ability, to, of course, to really pass meaningful good legislation when they could pass literally.
Right. If you pass 150, you know, easy bills, or you pass 80 bills that took a lot of time, right. Education reform, things like that. You know, that takes up. That burns up a lot of time on the floor.
Well,
that's a great point.
And I would also say too, you know, while we have a supermajority in the House and this, and we've got, you know, what I don't remember how many it is in the Senate now. Is it 24?
Ish.
You have, ish. Yeah, ish. You know, we don't. Yeah, yeah. When it's not convenient to speak in absolutes, we ish.
Throw an ish on it.
You know, we still have a lot of work to do. We still have charter schools to get done. We still have. You know, I'm not a big fan of PDMP, but, you know, that's something that has been taken up. So some form of PDMP might be on the docket. So I think that there's a lot of issue, of course, you know, abortion sanctuary cities too. So I think there is still a lot of stuff that the Republicans are being very calculated on.
No,
and I know that's really long-winded.
Hannah, your side of the building has been, also has a supermajority, but there's been some resistant Republican senators who have had a lot of feelings.
Feelings.
You work for one of them.
I do.
And there's kind of a gang of rebels.
Yes. You know, I'm going to agree with Ryan on one point, and that's that it's very important. We could have had a Kansas problem, basically. You know, and we don't want to be Kansas. Nobody wants to be Kansas. But even the Kansans, I don't know if they would be Kansas.
Sorry. Except if they're not happy about it.
Sorry, all my friends from Kansas. But although there was the discord and problems in the legislature this year, I think it was probably the best thing to happen. Because we could have easily run away with everything because of supermajorities, because of our Republican governor. We don't want to do that. We want to be very cautious and hold the duty that we have. I mean, it's an honor to get to do what we do, and it's an honor for the elected officials to get to do what they do. And so just to pass anything that sounds good with Republican name to it is not efficient. It's not good government.
I will say, on the media side, it's a lot more interesting when covering a supermajority whenever there's dissenters who like to change the conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's natural with a supermajority, right? Because your range of either Democrats or Republicans, whoever holds the majority at that time, is going to be very, very wide. You're going to get your very far right wing or your very far left, and then your more moderate folks. And I think Hannah makes a great point that, you know, were there some tensions in the Senate? Absolutely. Between members and probably between, you know, those on the second floor. But I don't, you know, depending on how you frame it, I think that's a good thing. I think it's good that side of the building is empowered in an individual way to voice their concerns, and tensions arise from that. But I think that's sort of how this process is set up, and we're just seeing everybody kind of, you know, stay firm in their beliefs, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
And I also think you saw kind of a shift, and I know this is my first session, but looking back historically, you saw a shift in the Senate to really go back to the body of individuals this session. And that's super, super important to my boss, to multiple senators that I know, because the Senate is supposed to be the saucer that cools the hot tea, but it's a group of individuals over party. And so seeing the shift back to that this session was, I mean, it was enlightening. It was really interesting to watch. I got to be right in the middle of it. And I think it was good government in the end. I know there were some days where there were filibusters and knocking some bills off consent calendars, but in the end, I think good government happened.
I think it's been really interesting to observe the development of the supermajority just since I've been in the Capitol. Because whenever I first started in the Capitol, actively here in the building, there were a lot of moderate Republicans. There were a lot of moderate Democrats, and they're no longer there. There were Republicans who would have voted against the bills, I'm sure we'll see next week, and there were Democrats that would have voted for them. They're not there anymore. So I'm kind of interested to see if...
Well, I think that's a trend you're seeing nationally, is sort of both parties running to their extremes. Mm-hmm. And you wonder if the pendulum's going to swing back the other way. And I think that's how it always works, right? We go from moderate to extremes, and then everybody kind of takes a breath and goes back to moderate. I think that's normal.
So... back to constituents. Beyond special session, beyond the abortion issues, what are, and both of the, all three of the districts represented here are varying degrees of conservative, what are your constituents concerned about? What are you hearing?
And I'm going to pick on Ryan. I always think it's fascinating because he represents two elected officials that don't necessarily align politically on everything, and you're fielding both of their constituents and sort of helping them manage their legislative agenda. I have always thought that was interesting.
You know, and to be fair, we do have some listeners across the state. Could you give us a briefing on the two men you work for and where they are on the spectrum, just for those who don't know?
Both of the men who I work for are Republicans who are not just, it's actually a really big question. So first let me tell you who they are. Yeah, plus they hopefully they don't listen to this.
Because Jay Barnes is from Jeff City, right?
Jay is from
government work.
Yes, Jay is from Jeff City. Jay grew up here. He is an attorney. His most recent accolade, he was on the short list for the Missouri Supreme Court Justice nomination.
Exceptionally bright legislator.
Right. Very bright legislator.
Written by a fantastic newspaper.
Right. Of course. And Jay is very in tune with his constituents. He's on the radio constantly. He's constantly putting out, I guess you could say, like blog posts or updates on what the legislature is doing. He loves talking to his constituents about issues that aren't actually so cut and dry. So if he has a vote that's an unpopular vote among, not necessarily his constituency, but just among voters in general, he explains why he voted the way he did, which I think is huge. And the value that that creates with your constituents is massive. And then also with just Missourians in general, the ability to convey your thoughts and maybe change some minds, or at the very least give them an insight into your point of view, which I think is something that we need more of in politics, is the ability to consider what other people are thinking at the very least. So Jay is kind of the legal, one of a few legal authorities in the Capitol. You know, a lot of people do go to him for advice on legislation that either deals with tort reform or law or anything within the courts, or just legal ramifications that they might not have considered with their legislation. So he's a huge asset to the Republicans, and he actually also is a huge asset to Democrats. You know, Jay has put himself out there to be a person that anybody can go to with issues, because there are things that Democrats care about and that Republicans care about that I think they all can get on the same side of, and Jay realizes that.
And then you also work for Representative Paul Kirtman.
Yes,
and Union, Missouri.
Yes,
right?
You're exactly correct.
He's written some books. He's super conservative. He's got great hair as well.
He has amazing hair. Paul has better hair than Jay. I'll say
it's a trap.
But anybody who has a full head of hair, to me, has a great head of hair. So, but with regards to Paul, yeah, Paul is a you know, a lot of people say ex-Marine. Paul is a Marine. You can ask any Marine; they're once a Marine, always a Marine. So not only is he somebody who signed the dotted line that he would give his life for his country, but he is also somebody who signed the dotted line and said, "I want to speak up for the people." So Paul, being from Union, is more considered in the legislature as a constitutional authority or a free market authority. So Paul has, you know, put himself out there as the guy who...
He's the chairman of the Conservative Caucus.
Thank you. And he's also the chairman of the Conservative Caucus, which is a newly formed caucus that is about 40, 45 members strong right now. and has... a lot of influence in the legislature as well.
You know, bringing that up and to interject rudely.
Sure.
Again.
There are
some states who have bodies who literally only have 45 members.
Right.
And then their senates are even smaller. I mean, the Missouri legislature is huge. And to have 45 members in one caucus.
What's amazing about the Conservative Caucus, too, is it is called the Conservative Caucus for an obvious reason. But we invite people to come speak on issues that may not necessarily be conservative issues. You know, and I think that anything that has growth potential and knowledge potential for representatives is a good thing. And that's kind of one of the other sides that the Conservative Caucus has.
Now, Hannah, you work for Senator Ryan Silvey.
I do.
He represents Clay County.
Yes, 17th District.
And he was once the youngest House Budget Chair. Mm-hmm. He is an incredibly intelligent legislator. Yeah. His district's interesting. As someone who once campaigned over there, who's mm-hmm. from that area, what are you hearing from them?
You know, Senator Silvey's district is very interesting. It's a very union district, and you saw how
there's
that
a lot of Ford
out.
Workers.
Yeah, there's a lot of Ford workers. Yeah, Clay Como, the Ford plant is there in Clay Como. It actually, fun fact, it is the biggest user of electricity in the state.
Really?
Since Naranda went out. So when the new Naranda, or what is it, Magnitude 7 comes back, they'll be the biggest user. But they use almost 50 megawatts a year. So in case anybody was interested in that.
I am very interested in that.
But it's a heavily union district. I believe it's 54% Democrat generally when they vote. So Senator Silvey has an interesting job to do because he's a Republican. But we like to call him a common sense conservative. You know, he doesn't necessarily vote everything party line. He votes his district, and he votes what just makes
sense. He's definitely one of the more moderate legislators probably left in the building.
Yeah, absolutely. But as per his district, I mean, they're not incredibly involved, I wouldn't say. Pretty average for
normal
most
people.
Districts. But something that they were really, really passionate about, and we just happened to handle the issue this session, was Real ID. You know, because they're right there in KC. The KC airport is actually, I believe, in his district. Yeah, it is. And so they were really, really interested in that. I mean, we're getting calls all the time. Probably the thing that we heard more than anything was Real ID. And thankfully, we got that done. Hopefully, the governor chooses to sign it soon.
The governor has signed a few bills. He has a fat stack of papers on his desk right now. Now, Becky. It's time, as I look at Ben's computer, it is time for 5 questions.
Okay, we'll see how you guys do. Okay.
is it 5
so,
each, or should we
do so, both of you have worked on campaigns. We kind of talked about that, you door knocked and all that good stuff. What do you, and I bet I know the answer to this, but what did you like better? Do you like campaign work, or do you like being in the building doing legislative work?
So I'm gonna say, and I probably have told all of you this, I actually really like doing legislative work. Well, you know, I had heard these rumors. I came from the campaign world, and so I had heard these rumors, you know, you have campaign staffers go into the building and they hate it and they leave 6 months later. But I love getting to do things that actually affect Missourians. Campaigns are a necessary evil, I guess, and they can be really, really fun. But it's just all advertising. It's all,
you know, air conditioners don't break in the Capitol, usually.
Usually, yeah. Yeah, my campaign office last year did not have an air conditioner in it. But no, I love working for the good of the people, and I think I get to do that in the legislature.
Right. What
do
you prefer?
I prefer the legislative process as well. You know, with that being said, any environment where I can have a competitive spirit, and whether it's on the, you know, out in the campaign field, knocking doors or getting people into phone seats, which you want to talk about a necessary evil, like getting people to make phone calls is a hard thing to do, but the value that it provides is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say that I feel like I have a greater impact there. You know, being involved as a legislative aide, you have a direct line to the constituency, and they have a direct line to you. And then on top of that, you can then take that information, give it to the representative, formulate opinions and ideas based off of that. So I think that I prefer that more.
Well, that's good, because that's your jobs, right?
Right.
So it's good you like your jobs. Okay, second question, a little not really politically related. What is something that you're afraid of?
Just anything I'm afraid of?
What are you afraid of? So I'll give you mine. So mine is heights. I'm like horrified of heights. When I fly in planes as it goes up, I do this little game where I consider how high we could go and fall that I would still survive. So I'm afraid of heights. I know, it's not very high.
At the
when you're on the plane. Once you're on the plane, you're screwed, but I play this game. That's what,
luckily there's some airlines out there that will help remove
you
from planes. So that's a good thing.
And I'm mouthy, so God knows, I'll be on the next YouTube video probably.
Very short game.
I would say, you know, at the risk of having my inbox or my Facebook just flooded, with pictures of this, I would say clowns would be my thing. Yeah,
I'm so glad you shared that. I know.
Well, you know, I feel like the people listening to this podcast should be able to know what my one and only true weakness is.
You're really opening up on the podcast.
That's
clowns.
Yeah,
I would say I am very afraid of going viral for doing something stupid. Right?
That's such a millennial fear.
It is.
They haven't even made a word for that yet.
An essential millennial. But, you know, what the girl, the Catch Me Outside girl, I'm obviously not her, but I'm so afraid of, saying something stupid and just going viral for it and ruining my whole life.
Third question.
Okay. Who is, present company excluded, who is your favorite staffer to work with in the building?
So Zach Sweets, he is Senator Jason Holzman's chief of staff. He is so great to work with. Holzman and Sylvie are really good friends, and so we work together on a lot of things.
They're a lot of fun to watch. We actually have some pictures from the floor.
It's very fun. It's very fun hearing their conversations.
You and Zach get to have conversations about
Zach
your boss's
great.
Conversations.
He's so great to work with. He's just golden. He helped me so much this session figuring out
And you never forget those. I mean, I remember people my first year that were like, this is where you print things. This is where you do this. Yeah. And you never forget those people. They hold a special place in your heart forever. Ryan, who's yours?
You know, I would say I have recently gotten to know a new friend by the name of Eric Harmon, who works for Representative Fitzwater. And he's just an all-around good guy, salt of the earth. Will do anything you ask him to help out with. And just somebody you can rely on. But as far as from a professional aspect, I would say our house research staff are my favorite people to work with.
Unsung heroes for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. The value that they provide and the advice that they give is just awesome.
Okay, so here's another very millennial question. What emoji do you guys use the most?
If it's not the American flag, you can get out right now.
Yeah, get out.
I think it would be the eagle one.
Yeah, actually, so side note, Senator Sylvie is the biggest user of emojis I have ever met in my life.
Fun fact!
He will probably love that I'm telling you guys this. He'll sometimes just send complete emoji texts. And I'm sitting trying to figure out what it is. But mine probably would be the smirk. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, the mischievous smirk.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like to sarcastically drop the hand on the chin thing because I always do it sarcastically.
Legitimately have the American flag and the face palm up there as my two.
That makes sense with your job.
Yeah.
I would say probably the face palm.
The face palm is a good one.
Yeah.
The face palm.
I think it's supposed to be a good one where it's a smiley face and it's got little hands.
Like hands? I use that sarcastically.
It looks like
too.
Yes.
Like when I get bad news.
It's like sarcastic jazz hands.
Surprise!
I do like the upside down smiling.
Yes, that's a good one. Like, anything sarcastically in politics is always probably overly used.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. Who won the week this week? It was a pretty quiet week other than a special session, but who won the week? I'm going to say I think Bob Onder won the week. He came out with his op-ed and then the governor called a special session shortly after. He is a heavy hitter and continues to show that.
Very excited to announce that Senator Dr. Bob Onder will be our featured guest on This Week in Missouri Politics on Sunday morning. So everyone should watch it. It is in the majority of the state on air. So
we didn't even set that up. I didn't even know that. I didn't even set you up for that nice little piece.
I'm ready. I'm prepared.
We're gonna work so well together.
I'm going to say ex-FBI Director James Comey.
In the abstract?
Yeah, in the abstract. You know, he's testifying. Is it still happening?
Yeah, I think it is.
He's testifying, and there are different establishments in D.C. that were doing, different games, drinking games and things.
Oh, gosh.
There in the Capitol for people who were in there watching.
Is Comey Day the new Snow Day?
It's Comey Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big deal.
No kidding.
I would probably have to say, and I know that this could be considered somewhat of a cop-out, but I would say President Trump actually is my... Yeah, I know. He's pulled out of the Paris Accord and handled his explanation of that, I think, in a very professional manner. And then his recent handling of this whole Covid thing, I think, is absolutely hilarious. So I'm going to have to go with President Trump.
I'm glad he used the description as hilarious.
Yeah, well...
That's interesting, Ryan. And on that note, I'd like to thank our sponsors, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce and the Republic Services. We appreciate your support very much. I thank you for listening. If you have any feedback on whether or not we should have more staffers on this podcast, email me. It'll be fun.
Or send that. Ryan clowns. That's ryan.clearwater. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah, this was great.
Thanks for having us.